back to the Question Gaming Podcast. I'm here as your host, Peach Monkey Gaming, and this week you're just with me and Mike Hart.
You can call me Mike. I mean,
this feels like deja vu already now.
You can just call me Mike. I mean,
we're not gonna elaborate his full name.
I'm just Mike. You know what I'm saying? My friends don't call me Mike Hart, despite that being a Twitter handle.
But let's call him Mike. For me, just call me Peach Monkey.
Okay. Do your friends call you that, or?
Well, if I'm on my social media or anything online, I just like being called Peach Monkey. I don't know. It's just, I like that being my banner for everything. Like, just like, hey, that's Peach Monkey. I don't mind being addressed as the Gaming Monkey as well.
The Gaming Monkey?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But at the moment, you can just call me Peach Monkey. That is fine with me.
Okay.
But let's go with this, Mike. How did your week go?
It went pretty good. There's been lots of stuff that's been going on, and it's pretty surprising. I was not expecting the amount of, like, a lot of stuff ended up getting, like, Terraria. So let's just run through. I was playing a lot of Bloodborne, but I'll get back into that later during the topical discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time playing Terraria because they just released the 1.3 update.
Ooh.
Which Terraria, if you're not aware, is like a crazy, it's basically 2D Minecraft, but if 2D Minecraft was like had lots of stuff in it and was, I don't know, done,
then I would feel satisfied.
Maybe I'm salty about that or something, but yeah, it's just, there's lots of stuff. It's got the same basic thing. It's 2D, but it's got a lot of the same basic things going on. It's just like you dig a lot. You spend a lot of your time going through like the mining ore progression of just like, you start out with like wood stuff and then you get stone stuff. And then you dig down, you get like tin stuff. And then you keep going, you get like silver and platinum and gold. And then eventually you get to the bottom, which is like hell world. And then you get like a hellfire axe and sword and stuff like that, and then it just keeps getting more ridiculous. It's gotten more and more ridiculous. Now there's like the Eye of Cthulhu. You fight Eye of Cthulhu. I thought that was there forever, but like my friend and I just fought the Eye of Cthulhu a bunch of times. At the edge of the world, there's a dungeon, and in order to get into, you have to fight Skeletron.
What the fuck?
Which is, yeah. So there's lots of this. So whenever I express a lot of dislike towards Minecraft, it's because there's games like Terraria that actually do really cool stuff with the same exact core principles.
Yeah, I can see how this would make me want to play, because if you're given all those principles and mechanics that you can use inside of a game, and as you're saying, it seems like you can progress throughout this level with many things. Like, you can do a lot.
Yeah, I'll try and pull up some video of it, but it's cool. Like, I'm such a big fan of it. I was a big fan of it when it first launched. So when it was in 1.0... I was playing a bunch of it and then haven't played since, but I like it so much. I think it's such a cool game. It's so fun to play. It's fun to just kind of like hang out while you're playing.
Is it multiplayer while you're... Can you play multiplayer?
Yeah, one of the biggest updates that they added to this version was they made it so you had Steam joinable multiplayer. So before you had to do some weird like Hamachi stuff or like however you get to big multiplayer games that doesn't have normal lobbies or anything like that. But now what they do is you can just join through Steam, so like it's peer-to-peer like anything else.
Yo, that is pretty cool. And how many people do they allow?
I don't know. I think you'd normally have, like, online, I think you can have, like, I think the most I've ever had is something like 4 or 5, maybe. Maybe I'm making 5 up, maybe 4, but you can have a few people. And there's like a different kind of things. There's like PvP in the game too, so maybe there's like, you can have more people on dedicated servers for it.
Holy shit!
There's like PvP. Like whenever you drop into a game, you assign like a team that you're on, and then you can see like where all your teammates are. So mm-hmm. like digging, like you can do cool stuff. I'm trying to find in this video.
Hell yeah!
Let me pull this up for you, so you can kind of see what it looks like. I'm kind of like along in the game. And there's lots of stuff that I've done, but there's like, let me see if I could find something where I'm not just running around.
Now, holy crap, this is something that I would definitely play. I don't know what it is, but 2D pixel games really catch my attention.
Here's like some weird, every world has, I don't know what this is going to end up being. I think I die here, so this should probably be really funny. there's a lot, every world has like a corrupted area, or in this, I think in this recent patch they added like a different kind of corruption, which is like red, and it's called the Crimson. And it just spreads throughout your world and is like really fucked up because there's these really scary looking enemies that are in there, and just not generally not a good thing to experience, I think. So let's, I'm just gonna try and jump around here. And
how many enemies do you usually interact with? So
there's a few, there's a lot. They keep, whenever they add a new area, there's more and more to do. So like this game also, like Minecraft, has biomes and stuff like that, and every the more difficult biomes, like there's a winter biome, but the more difficult biomes in the game are kind of like desert and jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And the desert and jungle biomes each have their own really unique bosses. And in fact, my friend was letting me, or he's telling me while we were playing, the jungle biome, as far as I know, has its own specific boss that's like a giant wasp and scares the shit out of me. Cause
that is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I got this. Oh, here's the Crimson. This is like what I was talking about before. It just like, it corrupts like the world and stuff like that. And as I can tell, like in one of the patches, I played in 1.0, I guess. So in one of the more recent patches, they added like a boss, like an end game level boss in the corruption, where if you do certain things in the corrupted area, then you summon like the World Eater or the World Ender or something like that to fight. And then the Crimson Zone is pretty similar. Like the caves seem like the corrupted zones are purple and the caves are oriented like a giant worm came through them. Mm-hmm. And then this one seems it's some weird petrified giant scary monster thing, and it's different. Yeah, but it's cool. They just keep adding stuff to the game that just makes it more and more ridiculous. In fact, like, so this is a game that's like a lot like Minecraft, just like what you might say. And I think they've gone so far as to just start generating their own kind of games that are like it, like Starbound. If you've heard of Starbound, is a lot like this, but it's an early access game as far as I know, and is not super filled, padded out with content. But it's a lot like this too, where it's like a 2D kind of Minecraft-esque exploration kind of game with a lot of different stuff to do.
Is there an end of the level for this game, unlike Minecraft, you know? Can you complete this game?
I don't know what the end game-est level is. It's kind of what I'm trying to get towards. There's definitely like the end tier kind of materials to craft and make. And then there are a bunch of bosses. And I think your goal ends up being to fight a bunch of the bosses. Because one of the things that they did add in, I think it's like 1.1 or 1.2, was there was a new game plus kind of thing where you reset the world to be much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I think that kind of represents like a goal that you can kind of shoot for. But like I said, I played in 1.0 and none of that stuff was in there. So like for me, the end goal was kind of just to get to this dungeon area right here. You have to beat Skeletron to get inside, and that was kind of the end game for me.
Oh yeah,
that's cool. They've since added, there's like a hell world at the very bottom that's just filled with lava. And one of the first bosses that I remember them talking about or adding was like this giant wall that would just like go from one side of the screen to the other and attack you in hell. So like you had to navigate around lava and stuff and fly and then shoot this wall that was just like walking towards you while fighting all these other monsters that are with you that are just like weird and magical. Let's see if I can find them.
No. That would make my head explode. It's just like, so much pressure at once.
Yeah, I remember I did die here while I was playing, so I might be spoiling some of the game here for you if you're at home and you're just like, I wonder what like the end game of this looks like. I'm about to kind of maybe spoil it for you here, so sorry. But it's cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do that isn't just like just dig around and look around and explore randomly. There's like there's tiers of weapons and items to work towards. There's lots of different material. There's lots of new stuff to see in the game right now, so it's a super fun experience.
What's that item that's like Spider-Man? It has you just like swinging over the place.
Yeah, so one of the core things in the game is to kind of figure out how to get around the environment. This is one of the main things that was in the game when I started playing. It's a Rose Whip, I believe that's called.
Yo, that's pretty cool.
And it just makes it so you jet from one... You can attach... It's like a hookshot from Zelda.
Yeah.
So you attach yourself to the wall. The main thing about this Rose Whip and similarly tiered items is that instead of just one hookshot, it's three.
Holy
shit. So you attach yourself to three different points on the area so that you can navigate around pretty safely. Oh, here you go. This is pretty great. So in hell, one of the distinguishing things is that there's buildings here that light you on fire if you touch them.
Oh my god.
So this is me trying. There's these platforms here. They're hard to see, but there are platforms there that I'm trying to navigate around. But I have to touch the walls to kind of get to them. And then of course there's like regular enemies here that hit me, and they hit me into the wall, and then maybe I die. So
damn. So they're really trying to test your gameplay abilities. Like, no, you can't touch this side or that side.
Yeah, there's stuff to do. And then there's ways to get around that. I think if you make hellfire armor like out of the material that's in that area, then you can kind of get around a little bit better. But it's like that's end game level, and I pretty much have just started. I don't really have any good armor. I have good weapons, but it's because just like I know what to do. So
you can make items, which is pretty cool. So can you, let's say, combine a recent item that you made with another material, let's say, to make it much stronger? So if I made like a flaming sword, am I able to combine this specific, let's say, salt to that?
No, and it's pretty specific in the way that it works. So I think usually what ends up happening is when you make a weapon, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
There are very specific situations where a lot of the end game level swords using like the sword that I'm using combines with like three or four other swords to make the Knight's Bane, I think is what it's called, which is like one of the stronger weapons in the game. And that's like one of the only instances of just like here's a good weapon, and if you combine it with a bunch of other weapons, then you get a better weapon. It's like the Captain Planet weapons or swords specifically, as far as I know.
Hell to the fuck yes. Yeah.
There's lots of cool stuff though. I like if for whatever reason, like if you haven't heard of this game and like this looks cool or this sounds cool, then it's probably on sale on Steam. It's probably actually available, I believe. When 1.2 came out, it was available on PlayStation and Xbox 360, so maybe look out for it.
Oh yeah, keep a look for this. I definitely need to hop on this. It seems like something that's appealing, and if I could play with another person, hell yes.
Yeah, and I think the console version ended up having like pretty good multiplayer for it, I would assume, as is the case with Minecraft. But yeah, they just added the Steam, like joining through Steam. So if you have it on Steam and you're just like, I don't like using Hamachi, like I do. Not you. I don't like using Hamachi. I think it sucks. Just because there's other reasons. Hamachi is fine. Hamachi works. It's great. I just don't like using it. But they've added some stuff to make it a little bit easier and more convenient to get into people's games. So check out Terraria.
Yeah, check it out, you guys.
Yeah, and so I guess the other thing other than Bloodborne that I've been playing is Diablo 3.
Oh, you hop back onto it?
Yeah, so they just recently launched the PTR for the 2.3 patch, which is like very technical, and if you don't play Diablo, then it means nothing to you. But it represents some pretty significant changes to the way that the game has been working. In really subtle, I think if you've never, like if you just jump into it, you won't be very like surprised by it. I guess it's not that kind of dramatic change, but for someone that played like the last two seasons of Diablo and
like it feels like something that's more impacting with you.
No, it's just more convenient overall. It's just a lot of the things, in particular, at the end game level for Diablo 3, what would happen is you'd run what was called Greater Rifts, which is just like this randomly generated map series that increases in difficulty as you get through it. I might have explained this at some point. But the way it works now is instead of you going in and like when you complete it, so before what would happen is if you went in on Greater Rift 1, and you did super well, and it's just like, all right, you destroyed it. Why don't you go to Greater Rift 6? And it gave you a map token to Greater Rift 6. And then if you did really well in that, it was just like, all right, go to Greater Rift 11. And then it just, you went up like that. And it was just entirely based on how quickly and how efficiently you got through the map. Mm-hmm. And then now what they did was they made it so they were just like, all right, look, here's approximately what the difficulties equate to in Greater Rift levels. So like 1 through 4 is like about normal. 4 through 8 is like hard, and then just so on and so forth of the difficulty scale, and it's just like you can go wherever you'd like if you just like to, if you just like to play on like the exact difficulty you're playing on, you can, and then as you feel more comfortable, you can incrementally go upwards instead of this like really convoluted system where it's just like, all right, well, I performed really well in the map, but I'm pretty confident that if I went into this instead of like going into Greater Rift like 26, if it jumps me all the way up to Greater Rift 31, I have no idea what that challenge is going to be like, and I'm pretty confident I'm going to die. So instead of being able to not do anything, they've made it so like you can just go up in like one level, and then it's fine. So
that actually makes it more convenient. So then you're basically given the choice. Like, you have the option of like, oh, do I want to go with this? I'm ready to tackle all this.
Yeah. So yeah, and like I said, it's a convenience thing that I think has been long overdue. I think since they introduced the Greater Rift system back in like season 1, I guess it's been a pretty big thing of just like, yeah, this system makes almost no sense, but I think it was difficult for them to figure out how to solve that problem of making it a little bit more easy. So, and I think in general, like the Greater Rift system and the Rift system that they have in general are both equally not the best things ever, but I think making it more convenient and working towards like this kind of solution is pretty good. Wow, excuse me. And it, for them to change it would require them to pretty much overhaul the entire system, which I don't think they could or should do at this point. And I'd be interested to kind of see like if they will do like a complete 3.0 update where they just overhaul the system entirely.
Do you feel like that would make it a stronger thing if they did that or no? Like, would it make it better?
I don't know. It's just weird because in this space, there's not a lot of other contemporaries. Like, there's Path of Exile, and Path of Exile is pretty much a completely different game. And, I don't know what Van Helsing does at the end level. Van Helsing's Great Adventure or whatever is, like, an ARPG. So they're in the same genre. But I don't know what games like this do to differentiate or to really continue at the end game level. Like, Torchlight, for instance, doesn't really have a very good end game progression. Maybe I should keep not saying anything because I'm not 100% sure what that is. But I don't think it has, like, the best progression through, so... based on what I played, but the current standards, as far as I'm concerned, are Path of Exile and Diablo. So I'd be interested to see what they do. And I think the big thing is that currently Diablo 3 is a lot of fun. It just doesn't have a lot of depth. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're looking for a game with a lot of depth, then you'll somewhat be disappointed. But Blizzard is a company that really takes the things that are important out of a game and kind of brings them in, like as they do with Warcraft or World of Warcraft. Like, I think World of Warcraft has been a standby for many MMO players for a long time because they key in on the things that are important.
Yeah, it seems like when they have one mechanic that's already established, they really tend to push on that one so that it's the main focus for the game.
Seems like it. And I guess the same is true of like Hearthstone. I think they really key on them. Important things in Hearthstone, and while like if you prefer Magic, I think you'll still prefer Magic and stuff like that, but I think Hearthstone is like a pretty good experience, I guess. I've been playing did I mention that I've been playing Adventure Capitalist? Did I mention that last week?
No.
Okay. Man, I don't think I should go into it, but I've been playing what's called like idle games, where it's like you play by not really playing. It's like a like cookie clicker.
Oh, like a point and click game,
I guess. It's I've heard them called idle games, and maybe I'm playing two of them together at the same time.
How are you playing them both at the same time? Aren't you getting confused? Or are you just that one and then that one?
It's cool. Like the way you kind of play them, or like I guess the way you probably could or should play them, I think, is you should try and figure out a way to play it. Or Adventure Capitalist actually does this perfectly. They design it in a way where you play it by not playing it. So, like, the main goal of the game, like, your first goal in the game is to, like, they start you out really small. Like, they're just like, here's a lemon stand. If you click it, then you get money. Mm-hmm. The first upgrade is, or, like, the upgrade you want to shoot for is the upgrade that makes it so you don't have to click it for it to generate money. So all you do is just, you get that upgrade, and then it just starts generating money as fast as it can. Oh. And then so... once you get more things, like once you get like a donut shop, like a car dealership, like once you start running banks, your first goal when you start getting those is to get the manager for them so that they generate money without you having to do anything.
Okay, so it's just progressing. But then what do you do with it? Is it just your goal is just to collect and collect and collect?
Well, there's a goal, like there's an achievement in the game to buy the earth, and I don't know how to do that. It's a thing in the game, and it doesn't show up in the menu. I don't know how to do it, so I guess...
Do you have to buy, like, every manager, and then it's just, like, the whole managers just run the whole
I buy managers for, like, everything, so, like, I'm not... When I turn the game on, I literally only just turn it on to see how much money I've made. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, this is good, and then I turn it back off. And then I'm just like, when do I get the Earth? And that's basically all I'm kind of waiting for, so... that's basically how you play those games.
Yo, I just would like to see all the managers get into a conflict with each other about who wants to own the earth there. Because I'm looking at the video, and then this guy's money is just showing buy, and it's just green bar after green bar.
Yeah, that's the game. I mean, you just buy stuff.
You just get fucking rich.
Yeah. So, yo. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably let you know if I haven't bought the Earth next week because it somehow consumed my life. I don't know why. You can't actively play it. Like, so obviously I'm not actively playing it. But, like, anytime I sit down and, like, I walk away, like, I go eat lunch, I come back to my computer, the first thing I'm just like, maybe, I wonder how my Adventure Capitalist game is going.
I could see how it is addicting because, like just like you're saying, you're leaving for a couple of minutes and you're coming back and it's just like, yo, my sales just went from singles to triples, you know, and it's just like, holy crap, I'm making money. And then you could just end up buying, well, how many things can you buy within there? Because I see there's items.
There's 10 stores and then a bunch of upgrades that, like, increase your profits, like, multiplicatively. And there's, like, the managers. So one of the main things is in the game, once you start making enough money, then angels start getting interested in your business. And you can collect those angels. And as a result, the angels will increase the amount of money that you make. So,
oh my god. But
the starting number is, like, once you start getting enough money, then, like, one angel equates to 2% more income.
Holy crap. This is investing to the fullest, to the point you're investing on spiritual.
Yeah, stuff. Oh yeah. They're investing in you. They're just like, yeah, we think your company's awesome. The best part is you can start getting upgrades which require you to sacrifice angels.
So that's pretty
cool, I think. Yeah, so you sacrifice, you're just like, yeah. You're cool and all, and you give me money, but I think it would be cooler if I had, like, 3 times profit overall, and you just sacrifice, like 100,000 angels.
It's like, sorry, you guys, we're just going to have your wings ripped off and put it on these angels over
there. Yeah, they don't explain the prices. I wouldn't imagine, I don't know. I don't want to guess how this happens. It's probably awful, but hey, I'm making money, so I feel pretty good about it.
That's all that matters. Is just like, yo, thank you, angels. And plus, they're the ones that came to you. So
yeah,
you
know, they knew what they were.
Going to be an investment. Yeah.
They knew what they were getting themselves into. So I don't feel the worst about it.
It's like you're trapped in a money cycle. What do you expect?
Yeah, when you're dealing with money, all you see is numbers, right?
Exactly. That's pretty cool. Yeah, like I could see how just leaving from your computer screen and coming back, and you're just seeing your profits just jump. Like the numbers are non-stop. It's just billions and billions and billions of dollars.
It's like, yeah, I'm in the point where it's just like quintillions of dollars. So like, go in there. And I'm aware that it's on, like, I think one of the first things people will probably tell me is it's on iPad and mobile or like iPhone. And I'm like, I don't want that, all right? I like things on my computer. So one thing I didn't check was if you can link all the accounts together. So if like maybe I'm like on the road and I'm just like, hey, I need to check my whatever. If it's the same thing,
that would make it convenient.
It would make it really convenient, but I'm fully expecting it to not be the same. It'd be cool if it was, though. That'd be nuts.
Hell yeah. Like, you're just at work, and you're just like, pop your phone up, and it's like, yeah, that's how much money I'm making today.
I just wanted to do that, and then for, like, my boss just be like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I'm making money, dog. Don't worry.
So I'm investing.
Don't worry.
Are you
investing? Don't worry about it. Yeah, but the problem is they'll probably think I'm just, like, actually investing.
They'll be like, oh, okay, you're making this much money here. Let me give you $10.
Yeah, they're going to think I'm smarter than I am. And let's say I'm not that smart.
Yo, you'll be basically outsmarting them. It's just like, hey, you know, you can give me those $10. I'll invest it to this company that will never, ever give you profit. They'll be like, oh, howdy doody.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's about it, though. Cool. I mean, I don't know. There's lots of stuff. This week... I mean, I guess I can talk about that later, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this week. This week's gonna be cool.
That's what's up.
How was your week?
Well, for me, I've actually began to start downloading a lot of games that I've had before in the past for my PC, so I'm really gonna be, like, spending time with, indie horror games, as I've mentioned from even my channel. So, also even silly ones. Like, have you ever heard of the game called Destroy the Porn?
No, I've never heard of this before.
Okay. This is one game I'm definitely going to get ready to do a live stream of. But I started playing it for a while to see how if I could get the fun of it. Also, this game tends to crash a lot for some fucking reason. But in this game, it's just like, you're a guy that just died and you go to hell. And so the devil's just like, yo, you know, you fucked up. What are you going to do now? And all he's thinking about, he's like, yo, I need to go back to Earth. And the devil's like, yo, why? Why is that? Why do you need to go back? He's like, I have so much porn in my room that if my mother walks in within 30 minutes, she would, like, disown me or some shit. And so he tries to make a deal with him. And it is interesting because his whole point of the adventure is just to go through so many situations in hell, like so many what do you call them? Like lava traps. There you go, traps. And you have to get all these items that end up helping you actually destroy your porn at the end. And you have a time limit. Like right when you get to your house, if you do not destroy your porn within like 1 hour or like a minute, you got to restart the whole game.
What's this game called?
Destroy the Porn. That was the first version of it. I don't know if they updated it since that, like they just reset it that you're at your house and then you can just get another chance to destroy it. But it's a 2D pixel and it was very interesting. It's like this, his whole moral is just to destroy his porn. Like he's very obsessed with the concept. So I was just like, I need to tackle all this game. And it's funny. Trust me. It's not even long. It's a very short-term game. And also starting that, I was just getting ready to actually tackle my handhelds. And then Dungeon Nightmare is something that I mentioned already from the last channel that I was doing. But as well, I have been playing the Five Nights at Freddy's series. And I know you don't fuck with it. But
I just never... Where did that game come from?
It's just at the blue. Like, who wouldn't want to be a security guard? Like, what if this guy was literally sitting at Chuck
E. Cheese's? Like, I get the concept. Like, the concept sounds... Like, I just, like, who... Like, where did the game come from?
I don't know. Like, he literally... He never specified it. It's just he said, I thought of the idea, and boom. Like...
Because, like, everybody started talking about the game, and I'm just like, I don't know...
Like, how did it happen? Well... Have you ever wanted to play it?
Not really.
Dude, you have to hop on it. Some people really don't like it. Like,
I mean, I'll probably, if I'm planning to do, this, like, Halloween, like, October thing, like, I'll probably get to it. Because I can't even really think of games I'm going to play through that entire duration of time. Oh, but, yeah, like, I don't know. I just never...
I say, if anything, you have to try this one first. Start it for your channel. Like, for me, it gets me the jump scares. A lot of people don't get scared, but I feel like you just need to be in a dark room, have your headphones in, and it's just interesting that you're immobilized. The whole moral is you're sitting there and you're very limited in what you can do. Instead of being able to explore an environment, you have things coming to you, you know? And it's like, what can you do? You can just look left to right and see what the fuck is there. So it's basically testing your reflexes, and which is pretty cool. Like, games like that, I don't know, those get my attention a lot, because it's like, can I react within this amount of time? So that's one series that I've been trying to tackle right now, and I'm trying to get that completed so that once Five Nights at Freddy's 4 comes out, I am ready and good to go. Because it's already...
Yeah, like, are you going to, like, really get in on the story of Five Nights at Freddy's?
Nah, it's no moral, really. Like, just a guy working at a pizza place. And, well, the interesting thing is, like, the first one is one pizza place, and number two is a different pizza place. And I believe each game is gonna be, like, a different location. I don't know about three yet, but at the moment, I just know you're gonna be the security guard that ends up just getting fucked over, and your paycheck is about $200 a week just to fucking do this.
It's just like the core idea of it just makes sense to me. Like the Uncanny Valley, it's like pretty much the same kind of, it's not the same gameplay obviously, but it's the same concept. Like you're working the night shift as a security guard at this random place, mm-hmm. and then hey, maybe things aren't the best. Excuse me.
Bush.
Wow,
that was very tense.
How else was your week? I interrupted you. I apologize.
But yeah, so everything else good. So right now, my main thing is just tackling pixel games, and I'm just building a library of them just to get them all. And especially ones that I started playing, like, have you heard of The Witch's House?
No.
Witch's House, Mad Father.
Are you just making up games?
No, like, literally, Witch's House, Mad Father, Ib, what's there? There's Yumi Nikki, which is a very flippy game, and... These pixel horrors are very mind.
Oh, so you're playing a visual novel.
Yeah, and they're like visual novels. You read it and you hear it. Like, have you even heard of Corpse Party?
That sounds familiar. Is that a game?
Come on. Yeah, Corpse Party.
That sounds like a band that maybe I've heard of before. Be a good band name. Anybody out there? I mean,
let's just start it off. We're going to be the Corpse Party, guys.
What kind of music are we playing?
It has to be heavy metal with let's go with heavy metal with
rabbits. I was gonna say we should just be like some weird like emo pop punky band, and then we go on tour with Aiden.
Are we gonna go back to the
Slipknot days? No, Slipknot's a different genre. Slipknot actually is metal. Aiden is like they had a song about like basically being a vampire.
So, really?
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was these are my people. Like I was friends with these people, not this band, but these kind of people in high school. So
I feel you. I had that click. I had those types of click back then. But for some reason, they were just so into Marilyn Manson. That's all. And they would just apparently they would assume that just sitting in a corner made you
cool. Sitting in a corner makes it pretty cool, as someone sat in the corner. Just saying.
It's like we just need a cloud and just chill there. I can't, you know what? I can't even lie. I sat like right in front of the lockers and people just walked over, you know, or under the stairwells when in high school because that was our location.
So what other pixel-based horror games? I'm the worst. I'm sorry. I just keep going for it.
No, we're good. We sidetracked
into. Are you going to play these on YouTube or like what's the deal?
Yeah, I'm going to play them in YouTube. Like The Witch's House is one that I've already played before. And I really do want to do a live stream of that, but I'm going to do a challenge with it so that I can make it more interesting because I remember some of it. But the good thing about that game, it's kind of lengthy. So you can't really remember everything's going to happen unless you're really going to like break down each little puzzle that happens. Because it's just you like need a frog. You got to feed it to the snake. And if you don't feed it to the snake and you open the hatch, it eats your hand and then you die. Or you get killed by a big ass teddy bear. There's just so much shit that happens in that game. But yeah, that's been my week. I've been looking at all these horror games, Japanese horror games, and pixel games that I'm just gonna build a series because, I don't know, I love pixel games. For some reason, they really catch my attention. But enough with me. Let's jump on to your topic about difficulty in video games. So tell us, what do you want to tackle?
Oh yeah, sure. So this week I began playing Bloodborne. So I hadn't since it released, so I just haven't played it. I know like almost nothing about it. And just to provide some context, I've never played any Souls game really. So I didn't play Demon. I own Demon Souls and never played it. And then just never played Dark Souls or Dark Souls 2 just because a lot of people were talking about them. I think I was just playing something else. It wasn't like the biggest deal to me. Oh, I think I actually streamed like Dark Souls 2 the day it came out, but I didn't play it. It wasn't my game.
You just didn't play for a long time?
It wasn't my game. My friend just brought it over, and he's just like, hey, let's like play this for a little while. And I was like, okay, sure. And then we were just like screwing around the entire time. So I actually don't really understand what the big deal was. So since I own Bloodborne, I was like, now's probably the time where I should just be like, yeah, let's play Bloodborne. So I just kind of went for it. I went into it. My friend Nate and I actually played when the game launched. We played it for a couple hours and we beat the first couple bosses. And it was a pretty good time. I thought like it was all right. Like we were going through it pretty well. And when I came back to it, I discovered that, hey, based on just like my knowledge of how the fights work, I one-shotted both bosses. Like no big deal. It was easy. I was just like, yeah, no big deal. It was cool. I was just having a good time. Like no big deal. I believe in the part that went up yesterday, I beat the first boss. But so, spoilers, sorry. There's the next boss coming up. It's not the biggest deal for me. The thing that ended up coming like up in my mind was just this is in a lot of people's eyes like this is just like a really really hard video game. Like a lot of people just imagine like when they play it to just be bashing their head against a wall and they will never beat it because it's so hard. And then when I was playing Bloodborne, I was just like, I don't understand. Like, this is just like a game. Like, I'm just
does it have a neutral, like
playing and having a good time?
Like, can you choose your difficulty, or is this just
no? When you play Bloodborne, you just play Bloodborne. There is no difficulty. You cannot set it. I didn't pick hard or easy or normal or anything. You start the game up and you play it. And so I just kind of went for it. And I discovered that I don't know, it wasn't that hard. And as I understand it, this is actually the easiest of the Souls games by a lot of other people's measure. But I don't know. Instead of being it at all difficult, I found it pretty easy and pretty manageable. In fact, the first enemy you fight is one that you're supposed to die at specifically so that you can get a weapon. So Here's a pro tip for anyone playing Bloodborne. When you die against your first enemy, that werewolf, if you die, slash when you die so you can pick up a weapon. So when you get to that Hunter's Dream area, you need to find your weapon before you continue. But I forgot that, and so I beat the first enemy without a weapon.
Oh, shit. So then there's just no... There's no reason to even worry.
You should get the weapon. It'll make it really awesome. But I forgot about it, and so I just continued, and so it kind of set the tone for the game where like I was just like, yeah, this isn't. I don't quite understand why a lot of people find this really difficult. And I guess like as the first thing, like, have you played any of the Souls? I was expecting more people to be here. So whoops. But Deshaun, have you played a Souls game? I think I know the answer.
Yeah, you already know my response. No.
But what's your impression of it? Like, did you hear a lot of people talk about the game, and like, do you know anything about it?
Souls game? I just remember seeing the cover, but I've never really heard a lot about that game.
I find that surprising. I mean, I guess it's like my Five Nights at Freddy's, though. Where like a lot of people talk about like Five Nights at Freddy's, and probably like a lot of your friends talk about it and play it. A lot of the people that I know.
Okay. Is the soul? Let's say, do those bodies that you see where you can recap and see people's deaths or how they try to progress through the game? Is that where Dark Souls is, or is that one in number
that
two?
That has been in one? All of the games since Demon's Souls. I think that's one of the defining things. Oh, okay.
So I've seen a little bit of it now I recall, because I remember seeing PewDiePie play it actually for a while. So yeah, like when he was playing it, it didn't seem hard. Like, it just seemed like something that you just go through, you slash and whack. Like, if you just know what combos you're going to press. Like, is it just a generic, let's say, button press? If I press XX, it does this combo?
So, I think generic is something of, like, a not the right thing to say with this. It has a pretty basic combo system. I think this is probably one game where it's probably the most complex because you have... most of the weapons have like stances, or you can transform them. Uh-huh. So the weapon that I'm using is a cane, but it transforms into a whip. So the whip has more range, and then the cane form is just a lot faster.
So is it like Dante, where let's say you have to press combinations for the whip and where you?
No,
have
it's
to...
just there's a strong attack and a light attack. Just... But what I can do is I can combine the different. I can transform mid combo and then have the advantages of the cane. In the middle of a combo that I do with the whip. So, like, if I whip and then I realize that the enemy is a little bit too close, I can actually transform into the cane again and then start attacking in the cane form, so to speak, instead of just, like, sticking to the whip.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
But, yeah, so I think the important thing to know about the combat in this game is, while it is pretty basic, it's heavily animation-focused. So whenever you press a button to attack, there is a very specific animation that happens. And in particular, it's a specific length, and that's going to be important to consider when you're attacking enemies, because if they attack faster than you, then you're going to want to attack with an attack that's either faster or farther reaching than them, so you don't get hit.
So it's just making the right timing for what move you're going to use.
Like getting a sense of like when your space, like as someone that plays fighting games pretty regularly, like I'm not the best, obviously, or anything like that. I'm not going to claim to be, but I have a pretty good understanding of fighting game mechanics and how they work. So if you are good at fighting games and you have a good sense of timing and spacing, then I think something like this will be pretty manageable for you.
That's pretty good. So am I real quick about it? Am I able to change my weapon like at that time, or do I have to wait and to go to a different location in order to get a different weapon?
So you like once if you have a weapon, then you can just kind of press start and then switch to it. Have like an active inventory kind of thing that you can use where you have like two right-hand weapons and two left-hand weapons. So left-hand weapons include like a gun or a shield or a torch or something like that. So you can switch between a lot of those things on the fly. But if you wanted to do any kind of customization outside of that, then you'd have to go into the start menu and kind of do that. Which is, this game doesn't pause, so you'd have to make sure you have like a good amount of space for yourself. Like if you're getting attacked by enemies, you can't switch weapons from the start menu. Or you could, but you can't.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Oh damn! So it doesn't really pause your game at all.
The safest place is the Hunter's Dream, which is like the town, pretty much. And if you're not there, then you should expect to be attacked.
It's just saying goodbye to your character.
So I guess one, since you haven't played, I guess like, and I'm gonna say like probably like don't know like the most about this game. So one of the things that a lot of people say about this game and this series is that it's extremely difficult. I think Dark Souls is probably the best one in terms of like general public opinion. I think that's probably the high point. And then this is, I don't know where Bloodborne actually like lines up with the rest of the game.
Yeah, so I was confused. I thought it was on number three, but then they really detached it from it. So they didn't really, you know, initiate it.
Yeah, none of them are really. So the only sequel is Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2, which I don't know why they're sequels. I think it continues off of the story, and that's why it's sequel. So Demon's Souls was the first one, and Demon's Souls has a completely different story and like plot and like a different core set of mechanics. And then Bloodborne especially has a different set of working mechanics in that while you're... It has a lot of the same gameplay mechanics, I guess. It's the mindset while playing is different because the main difference in Bloodborne is that you don't have shields. And you don't really have heavy armor, as far as I can tell. So a lot of it is dodging-oriented or being offensive in general. So instead of playing defensively, the thing that people have been telling me a lot is you play offensively.
Oh, I could see how I could get into that game because I love games where you can play off the offense more, where you really get the chance to just attack. And just like how you said, like how you have to time it right.
It's so, Dark Souls and Demon's Souls you can play like that, but the game definitely has a lot more options to play defensively. Like there are options. The option exists to just find a big tower shield and then just use your tower shield and not take damage. Like that, those are options that exist in Dark Souls and Demon's Souls that are not in this game.
Okay. So when you're, let's say, what made you feel like this game wasn't as difficult as it is for other people? Did you, like, what was it about
the game? Well, I think, in general, I think the game's easy. I think it's probably the easiest of these games, and I think it just definitely does feel really easy in general. But I think a lot of it just had to do with the mindset going in, you know, like I think for some reason a lot of people just like to keep saying like, oh, video games are like really easy, like they hold your hand for like ever. And while I think that is like true to some degree, like video games are definitely a lot easier than they were before, I think there's just like a wider range in terms of difficulty. So when you get to something like this, I wouldn't say it's easy or hard, but what I would say is that Bloodborne definitely punishes you for being stupid. Like if you think that it would be okay for you to just walk up and just attack constantly, that's not an option for you because there are enemies that will not stagger when you hit them. There are enemies that will just hit you faster than you can hit them. There are enemies that are a lot bigger and stronger or smaller and faster than you. So to just expect to be able to press like a button and get your way through it is just kind of stupid.
Yeah, so you're not unable to anticipate your moves.
Yeah, you really have to kind of think about it. And like I said, like it punishes you for being stupid. So like there are bosses that have really strong telegraphs for when they're doing moves, or like they just like swipe in big, very deliberate arcs. For like obvious, like if you can look at a boss and they have big, like lanky arms, you can probably expect them to do big, wide, sweeping attacks. And for you to expect something different would be kind of silly, you know, like... I think it's just, you know, I went into it expecting to just be punished, so as a result it wasn't as bad as I thought. Or I would say that this game isn't even that difficult, really. Like I think if you just play video games like pretty actively and you're pretty aware of how game mechanics work and like the concept of like telegraphing moves and stuff like that, like I think this is a very manageable game to play. And from what I remember from Demon's Souls, which is the only one that I played for an extended period of time, it was pretty similar.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I think one of the other things that comes up in terms of difficulty for these games is the fact that a lot of the concepts in the game are relatively obtuse. So when you're playing, they don't really say what your character stats are. What I meant to do is check the manual. So they don't explicitly tell you, like, this is strength and your weapon is like scaled with strength and stuff like that. They have a lot of the stats represented by symbols, and I think they explain it in the game's manual, but they don't ever do it in the game. So I haven't read the manual, so I have no idea what's in the manual.
Yeah, who reads manuals nowadays, man? It's just like, let me just hop into
I think it's a complex game and warrants using the manual, but I I'm pretty stupid, so I just kind of went for it.
Oh, then I must be pretty stupid too, man, because I don't read manuals for games. I don't know. I'm one of those people that like to just jump right into the game and just learn the mechanics.
Yeah, as I think go. I'm somewhat spoiled where like I can just expect a game to kind of tell me how to play or teach me. I should be able to figure out how to play. And if they don't do that or if something like that doesn't occur, then I feel like they just designed it poorly, which is maybe like a spoiled way to approach that question.
Just like, no, you guys fucked up
the game. Yeah, right? I mean, I would quickly just be like, yeah, you fucked up like designing the game if I don't have any idea like what to do or anything like that. Oh, here I die. I'm glad we were watching this.
Damn.
Yeah, see, that was one situation where I literally just stood there and attacked and died. And who's like, whose fault was that? Like, guess what? It's my fault.
It's like, you should have read the manual.
Well, no, I should have read the manual. I should have just not stood there and get attacked. But, so this is like one game. And it's starting, the more I play it, the more I really just want to play Dark Souls. Because I wonder if I'd have the same reaction where I'm just like, I don't know if this game is hard or not. Like, this doesn't feel hard. And in other, so like just to provide context also, for the most part, I don't actually play games on hard. I don't think I'm actually that great at video games. If ever there's a situation where I can select the difficulty, I pick normal. Unless the game's difficulties are described as easy, medium, and hard, in which case I pick easy.
Well, do you tend to run through the game? Like when I mean I run through the game, it's like any enemy that approaches you, you just tackle them full on. Not thinking twice and just bam.
I kind of approach it the way the game might suggest I take it. So, like, one thing that ended up happening was my friend Nate played the most Halo 4 and literally ran through the game. He fought...
Are you dragging his body?
Oh, it ragdolls really hard, and then I just kind of started coming. I don't know. So, go on. He just ran through the game. Like, I'm pretty sure he skipped 90% of the fights in the game. I would probably not do something like that. I probably like when I see an enemy, I would probably try and kill them or something like that. So I try to tackle situations in the game as the game kind of suggests you do.
Progress.
Yeah. Like if there are enemies in my way, like I'll fight them unless it seems like I can't beat them, in which case that's when I'll be like, okay, maybe I should get out of here or something like that. I don't really think the game is all that difficult. I think it's pretty good. Like I have a pretty good set of expectations while playing it. Like I said, I expect to get punished for being stupid and, I respect a lot of the enemies.
Yeah. Like I would assume that as you play the game, it begins to get harder and harder depending on what enemies that you approach, because depending on their moveset is how you're affected by them. For what I'm seeing from the gameplay. Yeah,
they also start stacking on mechanics. Like there are just stronger enemies, but there are also enemies that have lots of like little elements attached to them. Like some of them are fire based. One boss that I'm pretty confident just like kicks my ass. Like one move takes half my health bar, and I'm pretty sure it's just because he does electric damage, and I don't account for that at all. And I've never had to before, but this boss does specifically. So I'm just like, yeah, if I go up against this boss, I should not reasonably expect to beat him. I should expect to die because I don't have any electric resistance.
Well, it's like, thanks for the help.
I don't know. As I'm playing, I've only been frustrated once, and it was in the most recent day of playing, which is, if you didn't see it live, you'll see it like in 2 weeks, I think. But I'm fighting this like old lady that just like teleports or something. And that was probably one of the first times I got frustrated because, most of the deaths I felt like are pretty much my fault. Like, I just stood there and died, or I took the hit when I could have dodged, or I got too greedy and tried to attack or something like that. But in this situation, it was just a case of I literally couldn't see the enemy that hit me, and I couldn't see their attack that hit me. And as a result, I got really frustrated.
Yeah, I'd have been mad as shit too. I'd been like, you're just fucking.
So like one of the big things, like since you haven't played, like I'll just like the one of the core mechanics in the game is in Dark Souls and Demon Souls, enemies when you kill them they give you souls. In this game they give you blood echoes, which are the same exact thing, souls. And it's the currency that it's experience basically. So you collect it by defeating enemies. But you also you use it to level up. But you also use that same exact currency to purchase items and weapons.
In situations. Oh, damn. So you really had to you have to pick and choose what will stand out.
Yeah, the most and the levels in this game go like the amount you need goes increases as your level increases, and any stat allocation you do increases your level, which increases the amount that will be required to get the next level. So there's a big investment game that happens where you're just like, do I want to get more attack power so I do more damage, or do I want more health so that I survive longer? Because those are both attached to the same scaling currency. And then this is also, you have to weigh that against, like, is there a weapon that I want to buy? Should I buy that weapon? Do I want to hang on to these for something else? Like, is there something that's big and pricey that's worthwhile that I should save for?
It's basically making you, it's trying to make you plan on your moves and the next move that you're going to approach.
From what I'm seeing. There's a lot of stuff that goes into the game. And like I said, like, I expected a lot of stuff. I expected it to be very complex. I expected it to punish me for being stupid, so I approached it very carefully. And as a result, it's combined in like this experience where I'm just like, yeah, I don't really think the game... I think the game is really managed. So I don't think the game is easy. But what I do think is I think it's very manageable to play. Where...
It's like you're able just to just play through on and defeat the enemies without... of course, there's going to be struggles here and there, but no situation. Yeah. That you will find.
Yeah, I don't think I approach it the same way as a lot of other people where it's just like, oh my god, it's so hard. I'm just like surprised I beat the first boss. I'm just like, yeah, I beat the first boss, it wasn't that bad. And I'm gonna like go to the next boss, I guess, because the next boss is probably like way harder and stuff like that. And I don't know. I guess I just have like a different overall mindset than most people, I think.
Yeah, you also got a tolerance. So like you can deal with whatever a game throws at you from what I'm saying.
Like I said, I wouldn't consider myself like the best video game player. I'm definitely like a video gamesman. Like I've played a game before. But yeah, I'm not super thrown off by
How many times did you die in this
game? I'm not done, but I don't even know if they track something like that. I think in the entire playthrough so far, I've maybe died like 20, 30 times, maybe. The only one that's been frustrating was like the two most recent ones for two very specific reasons, which I find I'm laughing at now. yeah, for the most part, it's like it's not the worst thing ever. So I guess what I would like to build off of, since I guess it'd be hard for you to comment since you haven't really played the game. You don't know a lot about the game, which is fine.
No, I'm already knowledgeable about it now.
Do you normally how do you normally approach like games difficulty? Because I think I have something of like a unique perspective on it where I kind of normally try to play on normal for lots of various reasons. Like, is there like a specific way that you try to approach that or what?
It's like the way that you kind of been tackling games is almost the same way that I tackle it too. I'm one of those people that like to tackle games full on. So I do have a problem depending on the game. Like I will tackle it in the hardest difficulty. In my mindset, I'm just like, okay, if I play it at this level, this is what the game designers are throwing at me. And I want to see what challenge they were trying to challenge us as a player. So I like taking challenges like head on, strong first. And, as I play through, I don't tend to like stop. So when I'm playing on through the game, let's say I hit it once, I go back. If I keep dying back and forth, I will just keep going back into the game until I defeat that item. So I can say that I have a tolerance for the difficulty of games. So I don't really have a limit. So I don't feel like I'm really being limited for what game I'm playing.
If say you picked up like the latest Batman game, would you like play that on hard, or how would you do that?
Oof, I would actually probably play that on. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I'll play.
Do you,
that
do
on
you play Call of Duty?
Only when I go over someone's house. Ironically, because I've owned them before. Like back in college, my roommate, he had all the Call of Duties from the beginning, from when they were on the 360 and up to the latest game, which is probably like Black Ops 2 at that moment in time. So I would just play those back and forth. And when I play the story mode, I think on shooters, I played it in a casual, like so normal mode, right? There's just like two modes for it.
In Call of Duty specifically, there's four, but...
There's four modes?
Yeah, there's like
modes.
Recruit, Hardened, and then... There's recruit, something, hardened, and then veteran normally.
Fuck, then I just probably picked the one that the cursor put it on, because regular, I don't know those terms. Yeah, probably just regular. So I, like, it really, for me, it depends on the game that I would play the difficulty on. Because let's say if it's a Mario game, I definitely know...
Mario games have difficulty?
Once you beat it, that's the thing. You have to beat it first, because their whole... Nintendo's whole perspective of beating a game is, as you play through, the challenges get harder and harder. But with actually Donkey Kong Country, what's it called? The one that was revamped for the 3DS, they actually gave you the option to play in easy mode, because apparently the game was too hard, and I don't see how... It was too hard, because I just flew right through, just hopped over the monsters here and there, and swinged over a couple.
Because kids are bad at video games.
And called it a day. I don't know. I don't know what's up with the generation. It's probably my opinion, but they don't know what it's like to play a NES game.
Yeah, well, and my favorite part about that, whenever someone brings that up, is just like, hey, you know what? Like, Nintendo games are actually kind of like bad games. Like, they're not the best games ever. And while we are... Well, we might praise them for being like, oh, they were so hard, or like, they were so difficult and like well made. And it's like, no, actually, they were really poorly made. No. But we play them anyway because we're dumb.
It's like, there was no other good quality game at the moment in time. And don't get me wrong, I love Nintendo, but the fact is, just their gameplays, it was just limited in what you can do. And that's what made it hard. Oh
my
god!
Yeah, like my friend and I were playing. My friend was playing Super Star Wars. And I was watching him play Super Star Wars. That is a horrible, horrible game. There's just so much trash that just happened. Like, there's like a level where you play where there's like a lava pit, which I don't know where the lava pit came. There's a lava pit with like tiny platforms that pretty much fit your character, and that's it. And this is in a on a Super Nintendo. So this is in a generation where when people would hit you, you would jump backwards. So at one point, my friend was just like, "Yeah, I'm going to jump and shoot an enemy while I'm on this." Like character wide platform. So he jumps and shoots, and he like gets hit backwards into the lava and instantly dies.
Yo, that is a bunch of bullshit. It's like they basically cheaped
you. Yeah,
and
it's not like that's not difficulty, people. Like that just sucks. Like sure, like you, if you knew that and if you learn it, like you'll get used to it and it won't be that hard. But that's not difficulty.
See, And now that you mentioned that, basically what they were relying on was repetition. That was their moral of difficulty for NES games and, let's say, NES games at that time. It's just all repeating that action. Yeah. So it would just happen
over and over. It's the Nintendo generation, or like the arcade generation, kind of, where people would just be like, yeah, I'm going to go in. The goal was to get you to put in more quarters. So like they would try to come up with like cheap/fair kind of ways for you to die so that you
pay exactly for it.
Like, yeah, that generation of games wasn't like, they weren't hard, they were fucked up,
right? Yeah, it's like they're just trying to rip you off the system, and it's just like, fuck, I just, and your whole point was just to get past it, and that's the only reason what made it
different. And I guess like the bigger question that I don't know if like it's even worth bringing up or if we should talk about it, but like there's a bigger question of just like, what is difficulty, you know? Like, is difficulty like having to memorize a bunch of segments so that you don't die or something like that? Or is difficulty something else? Or like, well, there's like a lot of really poorly designed Super Nintendo games and Nintendo games. Are they like difficult or what? Like, because Mega Man, I would say, is like one game that has a lot of stuff like this, but I would say that Mega Man is somewhat fair for whatever reason. But I think it's because Mega Man is also really well designed, and that like, they kind of teach you how to handle situations.
Yeah, because I feel like, it's the build-up. Like, as you saw, like, as just we were just talking right now, with this game, it's trying to, like, build you up, or there you go, Dante's Inferno. As you progress, the difficulty is supposed to be harder based on the animations and the movements of the enemy in the game, which causes you to get a stronger item, you know? And then there's also the form of repetition, which is the difficulty. It's like, do you want to just keep doing the same action again? But then when you overall generalize it, difficulty just... Isn't it just a form of repetition? Because the animation and everything is just so limited in what happens.
I mean, I guess, but like I would say... Like, I would just bring up Mega Man again, and that like I would consider Mega Man pretty difficult, but I feel like it's difficult in a way that makes sense because they give you lots of opportunities to kind of succeed. Like, mm-hmm. the game is set up in a way where it wants you to succeed, as opposed to, like, Super Star Wars, where maybe it's a bad game, but I feel like it's also set up in a way that makes you want to fail instead.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you just need to fall down this pit, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're just gonna get burned.
Yeah, I just had this thought in my head while we were talking, while I was talking about, because I guess difficulty is a hard thing to quantify.
Yeah, because it, I would say it really does also depend on the mechanic, because what the designers want you to experience. So if they want you to experience something challenging, they will go for more of like, let's say events that happen in the game, stuff that actually causes the player to grow. Or if they want something that just causes a rage fit or something that's supposed to happen over and over again, take an example, Flappy Bird. The mechanic was just very heavy-borne for the bird to just go down. So your whole point was to keep the bird up. And rage was the whole point. Or annoyance, I'll say for me. I was annoyed by the game, and it kept me wanting to just play and get through it. I don't know. I just wanted the bird to get through the fucking
pipes. I mean, everybody. That was the point of the game. Of course you did.
Yeah, so then it's just... It's that form of repetition against, like you said, the form of opportunities for a player. In that game, you don't really have an opportunity in Flappy Birds. You just point, tap the screen. But like now what you mentioned with Mega Man, you have so many power-ups from every enemy that you defeat that gives you different choices on how you want to tackle a specific enemy, no matter if it's the same enemy.
Well, the main thing about Mega Man is that there's, like, you have a lot of life to kind of experiment with bosses in particular. So like, while a boss has like a bunch of different patterns and a bunch of different attacks and they move a bunch of different ways, like there's a bunch of opportunities that you have to kind of figure out how they work instead of just dying mm-hmm. instantly and the game kind of punishing you for it, which I think is like really good. Like I said, it's designed in a way that makes it so there's a lot of opportunities for you to succeed. Because, like, as a result of, like, any boss can probably hit you, like, 4 or 5 times before you die. So that's 4 or 5 opportunities to see new things and to try and figure out how they work. As opposed to a lot of games where you, like, instantly die.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I guess Super Meat Boy is a different example because the levels last about, like, 60 seconds. But that's, like, a pretty good case of just, like, hey, this is designed... It's a system designed for you to fail, and then succeeding is just, like, one of, like... the thing that you strive for, I guess.
Exactly. Okay, and now that you mention that, do you believe it's the environment that the player is in which enhances the difficulty? And what I mean by that is, just like how you mentioned Super Meat Boy, also like VVV, you're just meant to just go up, down, and just not hit the spikes, right? Or get touched by, like, a left-to-right moving object. But then, as in Mega Man or any other game, let's say a 3D platformer even, there's obstacles that you have to go around. So what do you think about that?
Do I think that those make it more difficult?
What I'm trying to say is the environment.
What? That was a loaded question. That's not fair.
Okay. It's just like, yo, you just bombarded me. Oh, okay. Do you feel like the environment has an effect on the difficulty of the game?
Just as you pile on mechanics, like, the game will obviously become a lot harder. Like, I think like VVV is difficult in a very specific way because all you do is just jump. But like, if someone made a game like that also combined that with like Mega Man style gameplay, of course, like, that would just be like exponentially more difficult because there's just more variables going into the game.
Agree. I'm down.
And I think that's why Dark Souls, like, to bring it back around, Bloodborne and Dark Souls, like, that series is pretty difficult because there are a lot of variables working against you. And in particular, it's just like, even at a base level, if it's just you and one other enemy and that's all the game was, there's just so much that can happen because of the way animations work and weapons work, and you can have different combinations of weapons and items. The enemy can do a bunch of different stuff. The enemy has a bunch of different attacks that they can do based on where you are and what you're doing. Like, all of these things combined, and then you throw that into a system where that happens a bunch of different times with a bunch of different enemies, possibly at the same time with multiple enemies, and then, of course, it just gets, like, degrees and degrees and degrees and degrees more difficult.
Okay, yeah. That definitely makes sense on how you put it like that.
even though I just got finished saying that Bloodborne wasn't that difficult.
I know, right?
I came into it with the same... Yeah, like, I don't find, like, VVV all that difficult. I think it's, like, it's very specific. And in the same context, if I, like, jump off the edge and don't make it to a platform, of course I'm going to die. You know, like, I don't have any expectations of just, like, yeah, I'm going to beat this game because I'm video games man Michael Mikasian. Like, no, like, the game's hard. Like, the game's going to punish me for doing, like, something stupid.
Like, it lets you know, it's like, if you jump in the wrong angle...
Yeah, it lets you know. The dude makes, like, an upset sound. He's like, or whatever. I haven't played that game in such a long time.
Yeah. It's true. It does do that.
I kind of want to... I just want to play that game again now, man. I want to get all the secrets.
I know. I got it for the 3DS. What? You know what? I got that problem. I like to download games and I just play it once and I don't open it again.
I mean, I actually did beat the game. It's just like I didn't really go back and get the secrets. There's the one that everybody kind of points to where you have to go like down 6 screens worth of space and then back up.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Oh yes, I saw that from Game Grumps and that shit was hard. They say that's
it's probably the hardest thing to do in like single thing to do in the game because it's. It's like,
do you recall how long it took you to
the game?
No,
I didn't do that part. You don't need to. That's an extra.
Oh
yeah.
Really? Oh shit! Then I guess
the little dots are extra. Because I saved all the homies and we had a good time and I'm pretty confident that when I beat the game ends in like such a cool way and I like got up from my computer and just yelled. Because it was so cool. Like the way they did it was just really really good.
It's like yes. I guess that form of difficulty was very, how can you say, it got your adrenaline rushing. Yeah. Like fucking 2D sprite version of it. Side-scroller.
Okay, yeah, so like after this conversation, are you more or less inclined to get a game like Dark Souls or Demon Souls or Bloodborne? Because you have the hardware to do it. Are you interested in playing Bloodborne?
Yeah, I do. I do. That makes no sense. Yeah, I will. Because I'm going to get Bloodborne because it's funny. I do have Dark Souls 2. But I have just never popped it into my console. I have it right here. But it's like, I'm a collectible dude. I don't know why in my head I'm just like, I'm just going
to... There's things to collect in this game. Yeah. You can like, there's items and like weapons stuff to collect.
I just need to put it in there. And just
there's lots of like things to get.
Let's see, once I start playing, I'm going to be playing that shit for hours.
It's a game to play for hours. I don't know how far in the game I am. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I can't be that far in because I haven't had a lot of problems.
Well, if you're just progressing through it, you probably got pretty far
there. I don't know. That's the thing. I feel like it has to be like 3 or 4 times as long as I've played already. But I don't know. Maybe I could just get to the... I might have skipped something.
You probably, like, since you skipped that item, I'm just hoping that you don't have to go all the way back to a certain town to get an item that you needed at that
moment. Oh, no. I mean, it's not that kind of game, I don't think.
Okay, because I was about to say, I would have been like, fuck it, I quit.
Also, like, there's the way that Bloodborne is segmented in particular, it's designed in a way where, like, any major thing that you could have skipped, if you can recall that you need it, or if they point out in a way where you actually... The hard thing about Bloodborne, actually, is not getting to things. It's being aware that you are missing something. Because, like I said, the game is so obtuse. Like, you might actually be missing, like, a key to get into a door. And then it just won't tell you. And you'll be like, man, this door is pretty strange. It's just locked. And then...
And you just gotta go around
and find the key. And then when you find the key, it might be so long that you won't even remember that it's for the door.
I fucking hate... That reminds me of Legend of Zelda, dog. It's the same shit. They throw you in a certain location, and they're like,
go find dude, that's... I really wanted to play the original Legend of Zelda. Because the original Legend of Zelda was like, you pretty much need the map that came with the game to be... Or the map
from... The top down.
The original one on the Nintendo. Because it required... Dude. Like, a lot of people really needed the map that was in Nintendo Power, because it just doesn't have a map. Doesn't like explain how to do anything. You can actually try and get through the game without getting the sword.
Whoa, really? You could just
beat I don't know
like
if you
that?
Can beat it, but you can start playing the game without it. You probably won't be able to get that far because I think you actually need it to kill bosses. But you can if you wanted to. Like the first screen they put you on is like the really iconic thing that lots of people like to point to about Zelda, where you like walk into the cave then the dude's there with the sword, and he's like, don't go alone, take the sword, because you're not an idiot. And then you can actually just skip that, and then just go left, I think, and then not get a sword, and then die. And you'd be like, well...
It's like, I'm shieldless. See, that's the good thing about it, though, too. Like, now that you mention that, you can really just go in, and once you can start collecting bombs and you get your candle, you can burn them with the candle.
I wonder if you can get the candle without the sword, though.
I'm trying to remember, but yeah, that's one game. That's an interesting game. You should actually do a live stream of that, because that fucking game is
complicated. If I get to it. Because, just to contrast it, A Link to the Past, like, you literally cannot go anywhere until you go to the castle to get your sword. Then the first thing they give you is the sword and the shield.
So. Agree. Because that's what you need to do. Damn, yeah, now that you mentioned that. Dude, I still haven't even been able to beat that game. I bought that game like 6 years ago. A Link to the Past? No. The first Zelda
hard.
Game.
It's hard. Yeah. Like, if you don't have the map or know that you can use that map, it's hard. Like, just remembering where to go, if you're not, like, coordinated in that way, is really hard.
See, and oh my god, the good part is that you can find the first dungeon easily, because it's more of like they want you to explore it, like figure out what your environment is and where it is. But it's so fucking huge that you'll get another temple confused, and once you go into that temple, you're already starting that shit, and then once you're in there halfway, you can't fucking progress through it because you needed a bomb. And you can't get that bomb without going to the other temple that you should have gone to first.
And none of that's laid out in the game. They don't tell you. They're just like, here's the temple. Good luck. Or they don't even say good luck. They're just like, fuck you. And then
to this day, I'm really curious on how that game really got popular because of that. Because I'm surprised a lot of people ain't just throw a fit.
I mean, it just happened because, like, you know, in that generation of time, it's just like, you got the game and that was it. Like, you had to do your best. Nintendo, I think a lot of it was just the Nintendo Power. Like, in Nintendo Power, they released the map, and I think that helped a lot of people. And it was probably this cool thing as a Nintendo fan where you were just like, yeah, they gave me this map. So now, like, we're all of us that have Nintendo Power, like, all this, like, this big party. And then, like, the next time we talk about Zelda, we have, like, yeah, dude, I have this map. And then they started playing again. It was probably a lot like Dark Souls, honestly, where people are... Like, the cool thing about Dark Souls is actually just because it's so obtuse and they don't explain anything to you, it's just like, whenever you find something, it's fucking weird. Like, you're just like, oh, he drops a gun, I don't know, and then you're just like, I don't want to use it. So then, like, the next time you talk to someone that actually played the game also, they're just like, yeah, I use the gun, and you're like, what?
It's like, what?
And then, or, like, the other thing, I'm just like, yeah, there's, like, multiple ways to go. So, like, when you talk to someone, they probably won't even go the same way that you went. So.
What the fuck? That's pretty cool, though. It's just, like, everyone's getting a different experience from the game. And I could say that's what definitely was, that was about Zelda. It's just, you got a different experience each time from the first one.
Yeah, so cool stuff. I'll be playing more, so maybe we'll get more on this, and then maybe next week I'll just be like, yeah, Bloodborne is really, really hard.
Yeah, just let me know. I'm really curious to see how you feel about
that. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm glad I played it. Like, if I didn't own the game or want to do this, like, kind of analysis on difficulty, I probably wouldn't have picked it or played it or anything like that. It's not normally a kind of game that I'd gravitate towards, which is why I haven't played Dark Souls or anything like that. But,
Oh, that's interesting. They got you with Bloodborne, though.
I mean, I already bought the game for other reasons, but it's cool. And I'd be interested to... I kind of missed the boat on people talking about it as they were playing it, but I'd be super interested the next time something like this rolls around to kind of be on the ground floor of people playing, and then just have this moment every day of just people coming in and being like, so, like, what happened? I don't know. I didn't go that way. How did you get here? Like, how did you... I didn't use that weapon because it seemed awful, but you're doing okay.
It's like creating a community of communication between, like, people that all have that same experience at that moment in time. Yeah, I always miss
it's the ultimate water cooler video game. You're just like, there's always things to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And the hype lasts for, like a couple of months, right? Like, probably like one or two, because people tend to beat games like that fucking fast.
I mean, when it's something of like a competition too, like whenever especially in the era of Twitch streaming, you know, it's a pretty big deal to just be like the first person, like, kind of gets to beat like a game like this. So there's a lot of incentive to just like, be like, yeah, I'm just gonna keep playing until I beat it, and then hopefully, like, I'm like in the early group of people that beats it, because that's a big fucking deal. I'm a video games man.
It's like, I'm a gamer. What you gonna say on that hashtag?
Yeah, but we'll see. I'll continue playing this. Like I said, the series is we together we watched, I believe, part 4, which went up today. And then so there's like a few more parts previous. So if you want to keep up with me playing Bloodborne,
yeah, you can check totally it out.
Do that, and just know that I don't get super frustrated for a little while, because I'm all right at video games. Okay, people make fun of me because I play Call of Duty on easy, but it's just because I don't give a fuck.
I played on super easy, but that's what's up, man. And basically, now tying in from the conversations, we did talk a little bit about Indian there. So,
Indian?
What Indians? Yeah, we talked about a lot of Indians in there. Link was Indian, did you know?
What?
No, I'm just fucking with you. But, indie games. And one thing I really wanted to talk about this was the aspect of it in the scene for developers and players. So, a lot of people have a problem with indie games, like games that come out on Steam or even third-party games that just want to come out onto consoles. And there's always been a thing back and forth of where people should be like, no, you shouldn't spend time to put a game on the console, or it's not going to get that many hits. Like, a recent problem that arised, or at the same time is still the same, is the thing with Shovel Knights, as I was going to mention. Note, I've only played a little bit of the game, but that's because I did react the same way that the community acted. So Shovel Knights got really, really popular, that it had already over 700,000 copies sold worldwide in digital. And the fact that it got sold digitally, that with that many units, they were able to put it onto a console. So now they're able to go to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and even the 3DS. And now they're trying to do for like 3DS exclusive items. So a lot of people are mad about that. That like, if I bought this game on Steam, let's say, and then now you're giving me a console version, I can't get certain downloads because it's specifically for a certain thing. So, like, 3DS has specific items that you won't be able to get in the other versions. And it's just like, for example, you get, like, a crazy campaign with an enemy, and you get a battle mode, you get a body swap mode, and they're very exclusive to the system. So a lot of people get really pissed with the fact of saying, oh, you shouldn't be wasting your time on spending money for an indie game that's going to be for a computer. Matter of fact, you should just wait till it comes out to the console. But then that becomes a problem, because if the people that don't buy the units for the game that's out for Steam, then developers won't want to port it to the console, because then they're going to believe there's no point. So there's a thing going back and forth in that, with people wanting to wait, or I should just not get it at all. So what I wanted to ask you on that part right there is, do you feel like indie games have a meaning to be put onto consoles? Is it a waste of time, or do you feel like they should put it on there because it's stronger for them to do it on Steam, because it'll go out to a broader audience? So let's say if Five Nights at Freddy's came out.
Sorry, no, I'm staring myself at the webcam. Continue. I'm sorry.
He's making.
I need
face
to not do that. I see myself in the camera, and I don't always do this, but I'm just like, God, is that what I look like? And so I'm just like,
you're telling me I'm the same way when I do like Let's Plays. I touch my face. I'm like, ew.
Okay, continue.
That's how they look. But yeah. So how do you feel about that?
To a specific point at the beginning before we continue. I think the specific thing of DLC exclusively being on like one area or one console always sucks. Like that is just a thing to get pissed about, because that might happen for. I guess that doesn't really happen for. I think that happened specifically. That happened with Diablo. The PlayStation version of Diablo doesn't have the seasons, which is one thing that I really like about a competitive season and ladder, which is something that the PC version have, but the PlayStation version doesn't have, because the PlayStation would be easy to break. So they just are like, we're not going to invest a lot of time into it, and as a result, like the PlayStation version, in my mind, is just inferior. So like anytime like things are exclusively on one platform for, I don't know, no reason really, it kind of sucks. And I think the ideal situation would be to just have all of the content available on all the platforms. I'm trying to think of a game that kind of does that better or differently. Because I feel like this is something like Binding of Isaac, maybe? No, Binding of Isaac was a complete re-release. There was something that...
They did Rebirth,
and that's a completely different thing. Yeah. So. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some specific stuff in my mind, but I think to that point specifically, it's a thing to get mad about. I think if you get mad about something specific like that, then that's okay. In general, like getting indie games on console, I think is just a better idea because if it's possible, you know, it'd be kind of silly not to try and distribute your game to as many people as possible. You know, like the console represents a completely different audience of people that, you know, like while Steam is like a good platform for indie games, I think the majority of the market still plays games on console. So by not offering it on console, I think you're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot and kind of cutting yourself in terms of the amount of people that kind of play. Like one notable situation is Gone Home. Gone Home is not available on console. And that upsets me greatly because that is probably that. Like I said before, like that's probably one of the most important games that I've ever played.
I'm fairly surprised that that one didn't even make it on the console. If anything, I thought it would have been ported at least to the PS3.
I figure it's like a small game with a small company, and they just don't have the resources to do it, which I find completely like if that is the reason, that's 100% understandable. There's lots of background things that have to happen for your game to get on console, as far as I know, and. For a small team to do that is pretty overwhelming.
So let's say for us, if we're like returning gamers to a console, so let's say like Shovel Knights. We both bought Shovel Knights for the PC, but now they're porting it to the console. A lot of people get offended with the fact that it's the same, they believe it's the same experience, same graphics, same casual lags. It's literally just a plug and play feature, and there's some extra content. Do you feel like they're cheaping you out of your money, or they're just trying to tie you over to make you want to rebuy the game? Because a lot of people have that issue. With me, I don't have that issue. If they're trying to give me extra content, it makes me want to play the game more. But with other people, you know, that's a raging fit.
No, I think one of the things, like one of the key points in that argument is that there's an expectation that I'm going to buy the game again, which is like, no, I'm not gonna buy the game again. If they release it on another console, I probably already bought it because I wanted to play the game, and I probably already played the game.
So you wouldn't want to rebuy it for the
expansions? No, I mean if there's more content, then I would kind of expect it to come to my platform. That's kind of like branching off of what I said before. Like if Shovel Knight, I don't know why we're mentioning Shovel Knight continuously. I don't know if they do this, but if Shovel Knight released their game on PlayStation. With more content, I would expect to get that content on PC if I already purchased the game.
See, and now that's the thing. They are giving more content to you on the PC, but you're getting a specific content from the PlayStation and then a specific content for, let's say, the 3DS. I can definitely tell you, let's say, Shovel Knight,
Shovel Knight did this? Asshole!
You fuck with my mind! But, let's say for the PlayStation 4, you can fight Kratos in Shovel Knight. Yeah, you fight Kratos, but it's specifically exclusive to the PlayStation.
I'm going to just keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
It's pretty fucking cool. So yeah, like you can fight Kratos in there. But then say if you get it for the 3DS, you won't be able to fight Kratos, but you can get more skins. So it's like, am I choosing the game where I had nothing, or should I rebuy the game and where I have skins? Or I'm fighting an enemy. So they're really trying to force you to buy a different... It's like the same game, but you're rebuying another game. But it's like, is it worth it? Should I do that? Also, there you go. In Shovel Knights, there in the 3DS version, you can choose to be a lady or a dude. That's what's going to be one of the features in the new for the 3DS. So it's like, is it really worth it at the end of the day?
Are these seriously like console-exclusive things?
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to point out that on their website, they have WebEms for all the gameplay, which I find cool.
Oh, shit. WebEms?
I've
never heard of that word.
It's like a GIF, but it's like it's like basically like a video in your web browser. It's a lot like a GIF. It's like it's like a GIF. GIF on crack, pretty much.
A GIF.
But No, I mean, that kind of sucks. I mean, unless it's specifically Nintendo content, like I'm playing against Mario, or I play as Mario with a shovel somehow, or something weird like that, I would expect something like that to come over to my console, and I would feel kind of like shafted by not having it.
So would it make you
want to buy it? No! It would just make me like, I got shit. I would not. So the only, this has happened before. So like, I got Grand Theft Auto 5 on PlayStation 3 when it came out, and I played it because Grand Theft Auto is like a really great series. I like it a lot. I'm not going to not buy the new one, right? I got it on the PlayStation 3 when it came out. Then when the PlayStation 4 version came out, I got the PlayStation 4 version again because it was updated, mm-hmm. But mostly because it was like a completely different group of people to play with. And in that situation, while there was a lot of new stuff, the specific reason that I bought it was because I wanted to play with different people. If that wasn't the case, I would probably not... I should not say this because I probably bought one, like, lots of different games multiple times, but that's because I'm dumb. But in normal situations, I would expect, like, for them to kind of release all the content across the board because if I bought your game, like, on the PC... like early, like the first time it was released, I feel like you should want to support me the most as the person that supported your game from the beginning.
Exactly. It's just like, you need to offer me that filter, basically, you're giving for everyone else, because, like you said, I'm feeling cheaped. Well, I want to fight Kratos even if it's on a Nintendo platform.
That is the situation where it's like, that makes sense. Like, if there's Mario in the game, of course it's a Nintendo one. If it's Master Chief in the game, like, yeah, it's probably the Xbox one, like, whatever.
It's like, which one is pulling you the most? Yeah, I see, but overall in general, if, like, there you go, being the guy or the girl in Shovel Knights, I should be that able seems to like a thing that play should, that in
yeah,
all
Yeah, that should
games.
Be, like, across the board.
Yeah, see, and then they mentioned that it's gonna be specifically for the 3DS. Unless they change their mind, you know, they always do that shit down the line.
They don't mention it anywhere on their website, so I find that kind of strange. I also probably, that's probably not an important aspect of playing the game, so...
Yeah, it's not really big. But, you know, it's just those little things. So, a lot of people flip out about that. Another thing I did want to mention was, do you feel like you're being gypped, like developers are lazy? So, a lot of, as you know, that the indie market, like, exploded, like, a couple of years ago, of course. And retro graphics are getting really fucking popular. So they're getting up there. Since they're still using the old style, like Mario style, and then we have these 3D graphics, so we're competing back and forth. And a lot of people think that developers are lazy because they're using a pixel style rather than jumping into the 3D scene, and they're just like, oh, you don't want to take the time to unwrap, model, texture, you know, do all that shit. So it's like they're saying they lack skill. Do you feel like we're being gypped out of our money for that, or developers are lazy because... at the end of the day, are we getting a game that's worth the quality, or is it just quantity that they want?
So I would say that in general, like retro art style or whatever, usually isn't actually retro, because mm-hmm. there's like the thing that's like pretty specific about like that kind of thing. Like, sure, like they're probably emulating a lot of that style, but retro is like 16-bit. Like, there's a lot less visual data that you have to use, so like while they're trying to invoke that, certainly, like, probably, maybe, but I don't know. It's just I don't know how long it'll take, but in a certain period of time, like when we look back at video games, that will just be an art style. And I think it's not a thing to really make a stink about. Like, they have a game that looks like a particular way, like, is it probably to kind of appeal to like me that play games on the Nintendo? Maybe. But it's just like an art style for them to use. And I think whatever they end up doing to make the game look good to them, like, sure, it's like it's their art style. It's fine.
Even if it's a basic design. So let's say if you're playing as a block with two dots.
I mean,
and then you're just going
through. Does it work for the game? Like, if it works for the game, like, I don't understand why it would be a problem. And I would say I think lazy is probably not the right word, not a fair word to use. I think maybe like are they like trying to? They're probably just trying to save money by not using 3D assets because those are much more intensive to use. They're much more. They're harder to make. they take longer, they take more resources. And for a small studio, like, why would you pick the option that requires you to spend more resources? I think it's just an intelligent choice to just be like, yeah, I'm going to do 2D graphics and I'm going to have an art style. Is it going to have like a 16-bit aesthetic kind of to it? Like, sure. Do I like that aesthetic as a developer? Yeah. Do I want to use it in my games? Of course I do.
And it's like, if anything, they still can make good quality sprites. It's like they're not literally cut and pasting from back in the day.
Oh, go ahead.
No. That's
there's a couple things about it, though, that I think is important, or I literally can't remember one as I'm saying it. But I think the opposite, I would say, is actually really, really true. Like, whenever a game has really crappy 3D art, I actually am somewhat put off by it. Like, usually I'm not like, man, this is like 2D art style. Like, what are you trying to do? Like, play the Super Nintendo? It's like, that's never happened to me. I'm just like, yeah, your game looks like a game, fine. But with like the most recent Pokemon game, it looks like garbage.
Which one? The ones for
3DS. Like, it has this like low quality 3D graphics to them. It's like,
well, remember, are you looking at pictures though? When you look at pictures from the 3DS, it's completely different.
No, I've seen like video gameplay of it. I haven't been like played it, but like I've seen it, and it's like, it looks like garbage. Like, why would you do this instead of making, like, when you know it's a limitation of the console to just look like shit compared to my PlayStation 4, when you could just, you know, use the advantages of the console and make really high quality 2D art for the game instead. It looks like garbage. And I'm sorry if you like it, like, you can like it, that's fine. But there stands to be just much more quality if they just spent the time to make really high fidelity 2D art instead.
Yeah, like definitely you mentioned that that did really stand out, because there's a lot of textures in the game that just really like are blotchy, especially like Gengar's not purple, he's like a washed down light purple, and that was probably due to the limitations of like graphics colors that they can render out for the model, you know. So it's just like,
it's I don't think the excuse of just like, it's on a handheld, of course it's not going to look as good, it's like, no, it's not going to look as good, you're right, but that's not an excuse for the game looking like trash.
It's like they should have approached it a different style. Like, definitely I'm not on your boat for one reason. Only because it is a jump from 3D, and I do know they want to innovate, because if they don't innovate with the times of 3D, then that can also become a problem, that they don't want to jump with the times. So it's like Pokemon Stadium was out for the N64, and then people are jumping to them like, why couldn't you do that with the handheld games if we have the technology? But then at the same time, it's like, by them making that jump, they're forcing themselves to push on an engine that's only tested probably once or twice. Because, you know, every time you create a game, it's a new engine. And it's such a big game. That Pokemon game is so big that it really limited down on, let's say, the frame rate. And, of course, the whole hype of the 3DS is the 3D graphics, right? When you turn the fucking 3D on, that shit is laggy. And the textures look fucking grungy. Yeah,
that's just not so good. And I'm not going to make the excuse. It's like, oh, well, the 3D was on, so of course it looked bad. It's like, no, it looked bad.
No. It's like, if they really spent the time and didn't rush it out, let's say, then there could have been an opportunity, and they could have taken the time. Like, Pokemon being 2D pixels wouldn't have been a problem. But then they would have also been in competition with what they did create. If they never created Pokemon Stadium,
I mean, I think Pokemon Stadium is a different game on a different console. You know, like, I don't think they're comparable at all.
I get where you're going with that, but then think of it, though. People already saw 3D renders of Pokemon. So people already, they're like, yo, I saw Pikachu move. Why couldn't Pikachu move in a fucking handheld game? Or, like, in Sapphire and Ruby, let's say these emeralds or gold, why can't they move in that? I want to see them move. I want to feel like I'm in a Pokemon
stadium. Because I want them to look good instead.
Everywhere I go. I need them to look beautiful. I mean,
to the point of just like, they needed to use 3D, like, they could have done parallax with it instead, and it probably also would have just been less jarring to people that are prone to motion sickness, like myself.
It would have made it even much better.
Would I take like graphics that are evocative of the like 16-bit era over crappy 3D? Yes, absolutely. Yes. And like, do I think I it's agree. Like really intelligent of those developers to use that kind of art style instead? Like, of course I do. When the opposite, like when I will point out that most 3DS games that use 3D graphics just look like crap.
For me, it's just the gameplay experience. Like, I can't even argue, like, which one is it? Mario & Luigi Dream Drop Distance. It's an interesting art style, but you can see that the art is being really
pushed. You mean Kingdom Hearts?
And it's
Dream Drop Distance?
No. It's Mario & Luigi.
Dream okay, Team. You said Dream there Drop Distance. I'm like, that's a Kingdom Hearts game, I think.
We'll just give Mario and Luigi a fucking Keyblade.
Don't give them ideas.
I'm surprised they have not done
that. That's not, it's because it's Square Enix property, not Nintendo.
They just need to shove a Mario. They'll probably put like a Mario hat.
I don't think they can. No, it's really? Not on Nintendo. I think they, I would imagine Nintendo would make a stink about that.
Yeah, you got a point. It's if Kingdom Hearts was exclusive. But, yeah, the textures were just fucking... they're eye blotching sometimes, and it looks like literally think of what's that, charcoal? Yeah. You know, charcoal, think of it just fucking rubbed out on a paper, and that's how that game fucking looks because they fucking pushed the engine. Like, the DS looks better than that fucking shit. No offense,
no, be offensive, fuck them. yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, are there games that like don't do that? Like, yeah, like there's whatever, like Gone Home doesn't have a 2D art style. Like, it's fully 3D and looks really good, and it's because they chose to focus on like the important aspects of it instead of, you know, pretending that it was this awesome big game that it wasn't.
Exactly. And then now that you mentioned that, a lot of developers, they have that idea, is like, yo, let's just use this. Then this is my assumption, I don't want to generalize for every developer, but it's just like, yo, let's use this engine, let's push what we can do with it, let's show them what we can do, and then they end up limiting themselves because they probably had a good concept with the way it was going to run first, but because they wanted to try a whole different system, it fucking limit them, put pressure, and then the game didn't come out as they expected, you know? So it's just like, oh, at the end of the day, we just got a decent game to them.
Oh, and I guess real fast, the other aspect of it, there's never been a situation where I have seen people that were just like, don't bring a game to console, like, don't port the game, except for in the case of Star Citizen, I think. I heard about it, I didn't ever see any of it. And that's one situation where I can kind of understand, somewhat, because I feel like what might happen is that Star Citizen is such a... I don't know if this is true, so if this isn't the consensus in the community, I'm sorry. But I did see some one individual person mention this, and it kind of... I understand where it's coming from, but I don't agree with it necessarily. But one problem that could come up with Star Citizen is that it is such a big and complex game. There's so many things going on with that game that if they chose to focus on console development, they would purposefully have to dumb down the systems in the game to cater to someone that is using a controller. When that game is so complicated that it will probably actually use like your entire keyboard and mouse, as well as other control apparatus things like that are like more than that. If you can imagine using more than your entire keyboard to play a game, and they'd have to figure out how to fit all of that onto a controller. And I can understand where that idea might make it so that the game would seem dumbed down in some way.
Jesus, yeah, it's like they're pushing on it too hard.
And I think it's one situation where, like, do I think they should focus on console development? Like, probably not. I think they should just kind of make the game and then just figure out, like, a home for it, where regardless of it, it's probably PC, but, like, figure out a home for it. And then if in the future it fits on console in some way, then that'll probably... It wouldn't hurt, obviously. But I think from the perspective of, like, it could... like put at risk like the game that they could potentially make, like, that is a pretty big deal, because I think Star Citizen is a big case where there's lots of expectations, there's really, really high expectations for what that game is and what it could be, and cutting it down at all just doesn't seem good, you know? Like,
yeah, because then you're limiting what resources or what was it about that game that made it so beautiful, you know? You got to cut shit out.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the only situation where I've seen people that are just like, don't bring it over to console or whatever. Like, there's like, there's no, the opposite of just like, why aren't games on PC? Like, I mean, there's probably not a lot of indie games that are like this, but there's like Forza. Forza is not on PC. Forza is a Microsoft Xbox exclusive, but not on Windows 10.
I don't fucking understand that at all. Like, they should have just fucking brought it there. Like, think about it. Like, it's just spread it out. Fuck, if I had that game on Steam...
I mean, it wouldn't be on Steam, but it would be on the Windows 10 App Store or some shit like that. But, I don't know. I always regarded, like, the PC as, like, the non-market. Like, people would always... Like, Call of Duty would always want, like, exclusivity on, like, the Xbox or the PlayStation. And it's like, yeah, it's coming to PC, too, though. Don't worry about it.
It will be there.
It's usually there. I don't know.
And it's no problems with it, usually. I should mention that.
I guess this is completely off topic, but we're not bringing up Batman, which is just, like, an awful PC port. Like, it did not work. Like, people wanted refunds. They pulled the game off of Steam. We don't have a new segment, so I feel like I just want to mention this. They pulled Batman off of Steam because it was trash.
It doesn't work.
It just super doesn't work on PC. So they pulled the game off of Steam.
It's like, why the fuck would they port it?
They should have ported it because you can't port... It's like, imagine if the game didn't show up on the Xbox. Like, that would be ridiculous. Like, people would freak out about it. But the other thing about it is, like, as a PC player, does it incentivize me to not buy PC games? No. Does it incentivize me to want to urge developers to make good PC ports? Yes.
It's like, yeah, because if you're making a game to the PC port, I would assume it should run on the PC because, think about it, it's made through a PC. Even though I know there's coding and all that shit that goes through with it. But it's like...
As I understand, the development target is usually something like an Xbox or a PlayStation. It's probably a PlayStation now. Like, the development target is probably a PlayStation 4 now. But yeah, when someone released like a shot of the credits, like when the game came out, and I believe it was something like less than a handful of people or something like that worked on the PC port entirely. And it's just like, what did you expect?
Wow.
I think they pushed the game back specifically to get the PC version to work better, and then it didn't end up. They ended up pulling it from Steam. Let's find out if it's there.
Check. That's fucking sad.
Arkham Knight is the game of that game, right?
It's not Arkham Knight. Damn. So,
if you wanted to play Arkham Knight on the PC, whoops.
You are fucked. Kind of. Hop on to the console.
I kind of interrupted you while you were saying something, though.
I lost trail of thought on that one. But now that you did mention that, about games and indie games, another thing that's a problem is, let's say, internet popularity. You know how something blows up so fast, like fucking Flappy Birds went haywire, to the point professors in our school at that moment in time, they were playing it on full screen, and then they had a whole classroom play it for like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
That shit was so popular that, you know, it was... everywhere in the whole world. That guy made billions, and then he got shit for using someone else, Nintendo sprites and all that. But then, when people don't like is people's popularity for a game if it's not, let's say, as big as it should be. So Flappy Bird is literally just a click and play $1.99 game. And some people overlook the games that are actually awesome and big that go for like $10 or more. So... with this whole thing of it being popular, does this limit players from actually finding a good game? Because then people are just going to jump to, let's say, Flappy Birds instead of, let's go with the next Final Fantasy on the phone that's the biggest shit. Pretend Final Fantasy isn't that
big. I mean, you could just, say Monument Valley. That's a pretty good comparable, like...
All right, really.
Do you know what Monument Valley is?
There you go.
Sorry. Okay.
I don't.
Then this is a good example of what you're talking about in action. Because... I think it just happened to be popular. It was really, really good. It's really simple, and it takes advantage of the platform, which is like the important thing about making a good game on the phone. But then like a comparable game, which is Monument Valley, I think it's like $6. I'm not really sure it's available on iPad right now. Not paid to say that. Monument Valley is a really, really cool puzzle game that is overlooked in a lot of ways because it's $6. It's not free or $1 or $1.99. It'll find its audience, and lots of people think it's really good and stuff like that, but will it become like explosively popular like Flappy Bird will be? No.
No. See, and that's the problem that some indie developers have. It's just like they make a really good ass game, and then these games that are $1.99 or just literally a tap and click get so popular compared to another game that's not going to get popular, but it's really good once people start playing it. And the only way for them to start playing it is by, let's say, they get like a summer sale. Think of it like Steam. They get a sale on that game. And then once they get the sale on the game, the developers aren't making that much profit from what they should be making. So at the end of the day, if they have the amount of units that are bought, but not the money that was coming from it, then that would limit them from making a sequel, let's say, or continuing.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that neither of us are business experts, right?
Agree.
But I think one of the important aspects, one of the important aspects on a market like the iPhone or the App Store, iPhone or Google Play, like the App Store, and it's starting to become something of a problem on Steam, is just the discoverability is an aspect of sales and marketing that is important in your game now, because just getting discovered, like there are a lot of games now, and getting discovered is an aspect of like getting your game out there.
It's like you have to market, like that's, right?
I would say that Five Nights at Freddy's is like a really good example of that too. Of just like, it is popular because it just popped up. Like people like did Let's Plays for it, and then it just got popular. And like, were other weird horror games overlooked? Probably. We're not talking about them, so I have to assume yes.
Like people, like Witch's House. Nobody knows that.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't.
I'm trying to think of lots of other things like this, but it's just that is an aspect of it now. Like, I don't know. It's hard for like legitimately really great things to just. This is one area where I often try to think of like what a normal person might think, because I would consider myself like on the outside edge of playing video games. I play lots of games, but. Normal people do not play games like me. Normal people don't find games like me. So whenever I'm just like, yeah, this game is really... Like, when I was like, Flower is probably like my favorite game of all time. Have normal people play Flower? No. Do people even know what Flower is? Probably not. Do people laugh at me when I say that my favorite game is Flower and it doesn't involve guns and shooting and swords and fire? Like, yeah. So it's a situation of just like being discoverable is like an important aspect. And I mean, that's a thing that you can't really quantify. Like how did Flappy Bird become popular? I don't know.
The guy just, uploaded and apparently
it was just popular. Like how did Angry Birds get popular?
How did that fucking game get popular?
There's lots of stuff for it. I mean, I don't know how it ended up being really popular, but there's lots of stuff for it now. It like really exploded. There's like plushies of all the birds and shit. I mean, not anymore. I mean, they probably are, but it's not as popular anymore. But I'm trying to think of things that are popular that aren't popular anymore, or that were like Angry Birds or
Angry Birds. What's another one that was a big blowout? Oh my god.
Bejeweled. I would say it's different. Cut the Rope. Cut the Rope was a pretty good one.
Yeah, Cut the Rope was popular. Temple Run. I've seen that a lot, to the point they got Temple Run too. There's another one.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's like it's a weird, like, how does any viral video become popular?
Like that's true. Just happens. It's just probably just getting your game, like you said, it's getting your game out there and just making sure a lot of people see it. At the end of the day, it's like, That's where they get conflicts about, because then some people feel like it's overpowering. Like if a let's say a $1.99 game that you barely do anything compared to a $9.99 game where you do much more is cheaping out that system. But then just like how you mentioned to me, it's like it's what people find. It's not what they play. And the
more, oh no, go ahead. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I lost.
Oh my gosh! No, I keep doing this because I'm used to like. More lies situations where like I have to, there's like bigger, better things to tell. This is like, I shouldn't be talking about this, but it's easier to telegraph when you want to talk. Sorry.
Build on. That's fine. You can always jump in.
One of the other, like, on PC, I'm a big fan of Path of Exile, And Path of Exile has spoiled me in terms of content for any game ever. Like, literally any game ever. Because Path of Exile, 100% free. Don't have to pay a single cent to play the game. They're releasing an expansion pack, which is probably... It completely changes a lot of the mechanics. It adds completely new mechanics on top of the existing core mechanics that make the game a lot more complex. They're adding more skills, an entire... So, like, essentially, like... a third of what was there, they're adding on top of what exists. And they're offering it for the low, low price of free.
That's fucking
yeah, amazing. And it completely blows me out of the water. Like, I know how they support themselves and how they make this all possible, but as a result, it makes it so whenever Diablo releases an expansion, I'm just like, is it going to be free? Because your contemporary Path of Exile is 100% free. And I can enjoy everything in the game, and it's not so. The other thing, it's not pay to win either. There is nothing you buy in the game for money that makes it easier or better to play.
They just like just go ahead and jump the boat. Like, if you want
to, the closest thing they had to a pay to win mechanic is stash tabs. You can get more inventory space, which is ultimately not that important because items aren't important, so it doesn't really really matter. But so as a result, like any MMO that's not free to play, I'm just like, why not? Path of Exile is an MMO and it's free to play. And any MMO is just like, we have to offer a subscription model. I'm just like, why? Path of Exile doesn't have a subscription model. It's great. Whenever any game, whenever Destiny was offering DLC, they're just like, yeah, we added a wave-based survival mode. And I'm just like, Path of Exile is going to add an entire act with like six bosses that are all end game level and it's free. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like it's making me more jump to that side, and that game is not as popular as Diablo 3, right?
The genre is that popular. I think in terms of people that play, Path of Exile is probably more popular. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a niche genre, so it's really hard to gauge how popular it is. Like Path of Exile will probably never be like the number one game on Twitch, for instance.
See, and that kind of sucks that you mentioned that, because it's just like this game that they're giving the players what they want plus what they want to give you. Like, just you have so much shit compared to just rather buying and waiting for a upgrade, buying and waiting for upgrade. But here you're given this, and this game is not exposed as much. And then let's say this game was exposed to a broader audience that, like, MMO players, a lot of people knew about it. Just think about all the more opportunities they can have. Probably it will charge for something down the line, but at this moment, you're telling me, fuck, everything's free.
Yeah, everything's free. I can't even imagine that they charge for anything in the future. Like, the way they support their system is they have supporter packs, which give you cosmetic items in-game. So it's a bunch of, like you can get the soundtrack on a CD, you can get a t-shirt with the game, and then you can get cosmetic bullshit that doesn't matter. Like, you can make it so your weapons are on fire and also green, and then your head is also a skull.
That's fucking cool, and that is probably the best way to market an MMO game, because you want to be able to have a lot of shit. And if I wanted to make my skull green to fucking, let's say I wanted fucking glitter glowing on the top of my head, and it just costs $1,
yeah, I'd do it. There's stuff like that, and it probably costs $1. There's one of the cool visual effects, which is like the best case for me, where I'm just like, yeah, I probably will never buy anything, but they have a special effect for one of the skills that I like called Ice Snap. It's not a great skill, but I just like it, because what it is just you click on screen and then a pulse of ice happens where you click. They made a cosmetic effect for it where instead of being like a pulse of ice, just like a splash, like imagine if you just like had a water droplet and then it just was ice instead. Mm-hmm. They have an effect for it where it's like a hand coming out of the ground and grasping where you click and then like coming down into the ground.
That's pretty fucking cool.
That looks.
It's just this is just like dumb little kind of things like that. Like,
oh, I'll think
I'm like, I need that. I probably will use it a couple times, but I need it.
Yeah, and that's what they choose to sell you. And oddly, it's like, yeah, I really want to buy it.
It's like those little things, like. It's like, what do you call it? Do you remember those toy machines? And it's just like you get that toy in the little bubble egg shit.
Oh, like Walmart or whatever, where you like put a quarter in and then they give you like a little bubble with something in it.
Yeah, and like when you're a kid, you're so hyped about the product that's going to be in there. And then every now and then, they'll throw in like a fucking sticker with the toy. And you're like, holy shit, I just got a free sticker and I paid for the toy. Like, it's basically free. And, you know, of course, as a kid, that's like hype as shit. And for us, like, with the whole, that's what it sounded like to me with that game. Like, just being able to buy those little things which amps the game much more. Because I'm having fun. Isn't that the point? Have fun with
it. No, it's to pay $1.99 to click on your screen and make the start.
It's like, no, just give me your money for it now. But yeah, it's interesting concept on indies, and it's never gonna die. Indie developers are here to stay, and I will just keep buying them.
I mean, it's pretty comparable to like, you know, indie music still around, right? Indie movies still get made.
Some of them get made. Some of them get popular. Some of them don't.
Indie games? No, they're the exception. Yeah, whenever you're kind of curious about, I mean, I guess a lot of the distribution stuff is still kind of growing, and game design concepts are pretty different. But like in terms of general arcs for like the way the industry kind of ebbs and flows, just kind of look at movies. Kind of look at music, mm-hmm. because they're pretty comparable.
And like when you think about it, the industry is still kind of fresh now.
It's still really fresh. Like,
yeah, like we're just in the beta of trying stuff. Like, yeah, we got all these high graphics and stuff, but it's like, yo, we're still just testing the waters. And yo, if many games can come out, many more are just going to be shitted in so many different styles.
I think shitted is probably not the right word you should use in this.
Well. Fulfilled, we'll just say. They're giving us a land of fulfillment for video games. But yeah, that's pretty cool about it. Do you have anything else to say on the aspect of indies or even difficulty of games?
No, not really. I feel this conversation is making me feel stupider and stupider about buying GTA 3 times, though.
Well, you know what? The whole point of playing a game is to have fun with it, so, you know, even though you had to pay for it again.
Did I have fun? Yo. Fuck.
That's the question. How long did you play it?
I don't know. Probably not long enough. Probably not long enough.
Well, I can't fucking talk. I buy on impulse, which is a very bad problem I have with video games. And what I mean by that, it's like, I will play the game. Don't get me wrong. I will play the game and I will beat it. But I have this weird concept in my head, like, I need it now, I'll buy it, I'll play it, and down in the future I'll play it again. I can't explain my logic on that, but I'm trying to get out of that shit.
I mean, at least you don't have a Steam library of like 500 games, most of which you haven't played, so
see, so you're buying on impulse too.
They were on sale, and it's just like, hey, if they're 50% off or more, I'm basically just like losing money by not buying them, really.
Yeah, like, oh, now that you mention that, I feel so bad that I didn't buy a lot more games on the Steam when it was a 70% off sale, man. I am really heartbroken by that shit, because when you look at these games now, them motherfuckers went up.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna have like, I mean, I guess I am having buyer's remorse, but I'm gonna play these at some point, so I feel all right. So, I don't know. Feel like I started playing some of them like immediately upon buying them, like, hey, maybe I got Honey Pop, and started playing that pretty immediately, so I feel pretty good about it.
It's like, hey, having fun.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah. Alright then. I guess we'll end it on this part here. I have to say, this is probably the best episode. Fuck Tyler.
I didn't Skippy say that. Wizard.
Nah, I love you, Tyler. We love you. We miss you.
Is he going somewhere?
I think he's... I don't know how long he's going to the beach. Everyone's going to the beach.
It's 4th of July. It's for those listening, watching, it's 4th of July. And if you're not in America, that means that you need to go out and grill something and then get drunk and set off some fireworks.
Exactly.
Because America...
Everyone wants to just be crowded on the beach, seeing so many feet and just... This is...
We go to the beach for different reasons, I think.
Yeah. I just go there to chill.
Then why did you mention
feet? Or it's every now and then. Because, you know how many people are there?
All right.
So.
Anyway.
But all right. You All right, Mike, just let them know, where can they find you?
You can find me. You're probably watching this on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/... it's not set up to do that. Whoops. You can check me out on YouTube. I'm doing cool stuff on YouTube. You're probably watching on YouTube. Yeah, just subscribe. I'm currently playing Bloodborne. And we got episodes coming out for about an hour a day. I'm currently, I'm playing Bloodborne, right? It's hard. I'm going to start... I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I'm going to play the Tales from the Borderlands probably here soon. Probably going to go up next week. So I'm going to start on episode 1. I already know what happens, but we're going to see how I handle it. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to fire the gun. So don't even think about saying for me too. I'm starting to work on my next EP. EP 5, Reclaimer. I'm getting some tones for it. Trying to get the coolest sounding guitar ever. So it sounds good. And know what else? The Diablo, so the Path of Exile expansion launches next Thursday, so I'll be playing that probably at some point, so look out for that somewhere. Follow me on Twitter, Mike Haru. I'll let you know when and where.
Just keep a lookout for it. He'll always be around. And you can basically find me at PMG Bananas, or follow me on my YouTube channel at Peach Monkey Gaming. And at the moment, I am going on a pixel collection. So really, first I'm gonna tackle first all the horror games that I should have played, and I left them out for so long. And I'm definitely already gonna continue the Five Nights at Freddy's series. So be on the lookout for that. And I should be going back to like Witch's House, Mad Father, Ib, all those psychological horrors. So if you like mind fucking shit, check that out. It's pretty interesting. Also working on 3D models here and there, my environments and shit. So keep a look out on my blog if you want me to make anything specific or any type of environments, even if I have to do a recreation, let's say from Mario 64 as an example. Let me know. I'm all down for ideas. It's just like you said, keep up with me at PMG Bananas. I do everything on that Twitter feed. I'm a Twitter whore, man. Can't help it. Love it. But alright, you guys. In and out with the Question Gaming Podcast.
In and out?
Or out and in. It's a paradox.
It's not a paradox.
Yeah, of course.
It's not a... It's not a...